Z-Trim Appetite Control is perfect for taking the edge off hunger.
I lost 6 pounds the first week and never felt hungry.
I lost a full pant size.
I've lost 15 pounds in 2 months without dieting.
Without dieting.
You're hearing the success stories of people who have discovered Z-Trim Appetite Control. Developed by the USDA, all-natural Z-Trim helps you feel satisfied before you eat more than you should.
I can breeze through work without distracting hunger pains.
I don't have to exercise and I still eat the foods that I love.
Z-Trim Appetite Control is a healthy way to help manage your weight regardless of diet or exercise.
I simply take 2 capsules before each meal.
Z-Trim Appetite Control is fantastic.
For people who need to manage their weight with limited physical activity, Z-Trim provides a naturally healthy option.
To order Z-Trim Appetite Control capsules made with USDA-developed Z-Trim, go to ztrim.com. That's ztrim.com. And enter the code word NATURAL for a 10% listener discount. Or call 1-877-MY-Z-Trim. The only thing you have to lose is weight.
Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Nova M Radio. Thanks for tuning in this evening, the day after Christmas. How you doing? Everybody okay? Did you survive all right? Get through all that family stuff? It can be a little weird, can it? Huh? Sure can. But I'm glad you had a good Christmas, if you did. We had a great Christmas, as always. We had a party here New Year's or Christmas Eve, and then did some presents with Molly on Christmas Day afternoon, actually. And had a lot of fun. Got a lot of holiday greetings, and thank you very much from a lot of people who listen to this program. E-cards and snail mail cards from one of our steady listeners, folks out in Oregon. Some a gift box. I don't want to mention their name, but it was a gift box. And among the homemade goodies inside was some tuna caught on long lines, you know, not netted tuna, but caught on long lines that she had, she preserved herself and sent to me. Oh, my God. That was so good. The Pacific Northwest, when I was in Seattle several months ago, and went to the market in downtown Seattle and saw salmon, a certain kind of salmon that is like $35 a pound. I just stood there and went, oh, my God. Well, this tuna, if it's anything like the salmon, then the salmon is excellent. But anyway, thanks to everybody who sent some real nice greetings. I really do appreciate it. To me, to Kathy, to Molly, we appreciate it very, very, very much. Thank you. What are you doing in May? Do you want to go to a rock concert? We ought to try to get tickets to this, Kathy. A major rock concert that's being billed as... it's Rock for Peace is the name of it. It takes place in May. It says it will be the 2007 version of Woodstock Rock Festival back in 1969, but in a different location and with different goals. The organizers say they are willing to embrace capitalist popular music for the first time, and in keeping with the laissez-faire spirit of rock festivals, there are very few restrictions. The website that is has the information says the following, though: lyrics should not contain admirations on war, sex, violence, murder, drug, rape, non-governmental society, imperialism, colonialism, racism, anything that is anti-democratic People's Republic of Korea, and anti-socialism. So that means no one can show up there except maybe who? The UK's Cliff Richard? I mean, who does that leave? Yeah, it's in North Korea. It's going to be in May in North Korea's capital, Pyongyang. The event is being organized by the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, their Ministry of Culture. Insert your own comment there. Ministry of Culture and National Tourism. Okay. The lineup for Rock for Peace is yet to be announced, the bands that will play, but the organizers claim interest from 49 acts in 20 countries. Bands are invited from any Western country, quote, even though you are from USA, end quote. So if you have a band and you're interested, you have to pay your own way. You have to pay for everything yourself. Excuse me. Your airfare, your lodging. However, the Democratic People's Republic of Korea. Democratic? The dictatory bastards that run that national prison camp. Democratic People's Republic of Korea, my ass. That is about as democratic as, I don't know, as George Bush. But they will provide tours. You can go to the DMZ, the Demilitarized Zone. You can tour the mountains. Yeah, there are mountains in North Korea, some fairly spectacular mountains, I understand. Apparently, it's a beautiful country. It hasn't been touched by anything like modernization or industrialization. So, anyway, if you have a rock band you want to go, don't write us. Write to the North Korean or the Democratic People's Republic of Korea's website. They'll be happy to hear from you. I wonder who's going to apply to go to that. Who wants to go to that? Bush has signed into law a $38 million grant program that will preserve the internment camps where Japanese Americans were kept behind barbed wire during World War II. Yeah, this is because they're historic. They are historic areas. The money will be administered by the National Park Service, and the money will be used to restore and make sure all 10 camps are kept in tip-top shape. According to the law, the wording of the law, it's intended to help preserve the camps as reminders of how the United States turned on some of its citizens in a time of fear. Isn't that ironic? Isn't that funny that the $38 million is being spent to keep these Japanese-American internment camps all polished up and spiffed up as a reminder? We need a reminder? With what's going on with Americans who happen to be Muslim, we need a reminder when we have these half-witted freaks like Dennis Prager and who's the guy on the CNN headlines, Kathy, the talk show? Glenn Beck and the rest of these morons, this representative out in Western Virginia talking about the African-American who happens to be a Muslim who got elected to the Congress that, you know, he's going to rot in hell or something because they started the lie. He's going to swear in on the Quran. I mean, it just goes on. So we're going to spend $38 million here to preserve these internment camps as a reminder that we have the inclination, much in addition to the ability, to turn on some of our citizens in a time of fear. Now, the last of the camps, according to what I have here, closed in 1946. And co-sponsors of the bill included, doesn't say how many co-sponsors, but it included the two current members of Congress who spent time in the camps as children. They're both Democrats, Representative Mike Honda and Doris Matsui of California. Matsui was born in the prison camp, Poston Camp in Arizona, which lends immediately an air of credibility to the fact, or to the bill. Said, well, you know, they wouldn't have any ulterior motives, these two Japanese Americans. Okay. I wonder if Bush included the signing statement on that one. Of course he did. You know what it said. If we have to use these camps again, because, you know, six more Americans killed in Iraq. Today, day after Christmas, I believe there were four killed on Christmas Day. This is according to Reuters, I believe. That now pushes the U.S. soldiers' and Marines' death toll to 2,978. That is officially recognized by the Bush crime family and this filthy military that we now have. 2,978, which, by the way, is five more than the number killed in the September 11 attacks. which, of course, is part of the justification or the rationalization for going to Iraq to begin with, at least in the sick mind of George Bush. About 90 U.S. soldiers have died so far this month, 90. And that puts it very close to October's toll of 106. Just, I don't know, I wish there was some way to do at least one program without talking about the death toll in Iraq, other than a Christmas program, and about the suffering that American families were giving up their family members to this war, not to mention the Iraqi families, how we could avoid talking about that. I don't know how to do it. And Saddam Hussein, the courts, in quotes, because there is no court system in Iraq. It's a joke, a farce, asinine, half-witted, you know it as well as I do. But the courts in Iraq have said that Saddam Hussein has to be executed anytime from tomorrow to 30 days from today. Now, isn't it interesting? You would think that U.S. Intelligence or CIA, well, maybe not them, but somebody would want to get the absolute truth from Saddam and would somehow bring him under arrest, heavily guarded, to the United States to appear before a Senate committee to inquire about the decades-long relationship between Saddam Hussein and the Bush crime family and Don Rumsfeld and Ronald Reagan, and just get the truth out before Saddam is killed. You would think, wouldn't you? Okay, never mind.
Be a disaster for governments that have got energy resources to be in the hands of these extremists. They would use energy to extract blackmail from the United States.
And when you shut up. So Saddam Hussein will be executed anytime between yesterday, I believe, and 30 days from yesterday. He is, as you know, he was found guilty for the killing of 148 Shiites in the central city in Iraq of Dujail using, we're not sure what sort of weaponry he used. This was after a plot to kill him was discovered. This goes all the way back to 1982, right around the time that Donald Rumsfeld was making nice with Saddam. Of course, Saddam says that everything was handled legally, that there was a trial for the people who tried to kill him, and they were all found guilty and executed. Okay, yeah, that's like a rock festival in North Korea. Now, under Iraqi law, which is a joke, a hoax, a myth, a farce, Iraqi law, can you imagine even pretending that there is law in that sad, murdered country? I guess we're supposed to do that. We're all supposed to pretend like there's a judicial system, there's a court system, there's a criminal justice system, there's a detention system, a parole system, a probation system. In other words, there is the law in Iraq. We're all supposed to pretend that that is the case. Up to a point, I guess. I guess the point that we pretend that is when our minds totally reject it, which for me is after I see the sentence that contains the words Iraqi law. There is no such thing. There is something that we have tried to impose on them. But anyway, under, quote, Iraqi law, end quote, the appeals court decision, you see, death sentences in Iraq now are automatically sent to an, quote, appeals court, end quote. Under Iraqi law, the appeals court decision must be ratified by President Talabani and Iraq's two vice presidents. Okay? Now, I don't know if that means the execution of a former head of state or the execution of a thief. Don't know. Talabani, Iraq's president, opposes the death penalty, but has in the past being the past year or so since their, quote, constitution, end quote, was put in place, and they have hanged people, they have executed people. In the past, he has deputized one of his vice presidents to sign an execution order on his behalf. Now, according to, quote, Iraqi law, close quote, that is legal. That's okay. You can do that. Or he can do it. Or they can do it. See, the law requires that Talabani sign something. But he can pass the signature on to one of his vice presidents. Isn't that nice? You see how, quote, Iraqi law, close quote, works? Now, a spokesman for the High Tribunal Court, whatever that is, that convicted Saddam, said the judicial system, quote, quote, would ensure that Saddam is executed even if Talabani and the two vice presidents do not ratify the decision. You see, so that's why I say, quote, Iraqi law, close quote. There is no law. There is no law. Because the way the law reads, well, this guy has to sign off and that guy has to sign off, but even if they don't sign off, he's going to be hanged anyway. Okay. He's an evil bastard. Why, you know, sure, why not? But so is George Bush an evil bastard. So is Henry Kissinger an evil bastard. So is Dick Cheney an evil bastard. Who's going to hang them? Anybody? Nah.
A senior Iraqi government official says that the execution of Saddam Hussein will be carried out in the following manner. On the day of the execution, Saddam will be taken to the gallows, now used to execute, quote, terrorists and criminals, close quote. He will not be given special treatment. He will be dressed in either a green or an orange jumpsuit. He will be handcuffed. His feet will be chained with only enough slack so he can shuffle up the stairs to the gallows. He will be hooded. He will wear prison sandals. The hangman will also be hooded, but with a hood with eye holes so he can see to pull a lever, releasing a trapdoor, dropping Saddam. The gallows are made of steel, 15 feet off the ground. The gallows have been built with American supervision to meet, quote, human rights standards, end quote. The old gallows had an old rope that had become elastic. There is now a new rope designed to snap Saddam's neck, not strangle him. Before the execution, not expected before the new year, Saddam will be given a final meal and time to smoke, pray, and write a will. This could take several hours. A doctor will check Saddam's health before the execution, that's right, and remain on hand to verify his death.
The world has waited a long time for Mr. Saddam Hussein to disarm. He'll say, I'm disarming, after he said he has no arms.
It's just very convenient, isn't it? Huh? We all know what Saddam was. He was an American ally. He was somebody that we funded. Someone we supported, someone whom we encouraged to murder up to a million Iranians, and God knows how many Kurds, and to keep the Turks nervous. You know, we know who Saddam is. But isn't this convenient? Isn't this the way to do it? This is like the Panamanian dictator who sits in a prison someplace in South Florida. Noriega, he was one of our great allies too, until it became time when he wasn't. When he was ready to tell the truth about his country being used as a transshipment point for drugs by the American CIA under Reagan and Bush 1. And then it became necessary to invade his country and kill as many Panamanians as possible to make it look like a real war. upwards of 3,000 to 4,000 to 8,000 Panamanians dead. We don't talk about that. But Saddam, I mean, Saddam, isn't he the reason that we went to war? Because of his weapons of mass destruction and because of this and because of that? Oh, and of course, you know, he engineered the 9/11 attacks on this country in 2001. So shouldn't we want to question him? The Iraqi government, quote, quote, has put him on trial, quote, quote, and found him guilty, quote, quote, okay, and we can soon hang him, or they can, and there's no quotes around the word hang, because when Saddam gets hanged, he really will get hanged. Oh, and by the way, there's a little postscript to the scenario. On the day he gets hanged, the execution will be filmed. Indeed it will, so look for it on YouTube. It will be there somehow, some way it'll be there. Ostensibly, it is being filmed for the, quote, Iraqi government, close quote, archives. Or it'll be used as execution porn by George Bush Jr. as he lays in bed with his wife in the evening and watches it over and over and over again. Oh, and limited footage of the execution will be broadcast on Iraqi state television. Limited footage? What, pray tell, would that be? His body jerking just 3 or 4 times instead of the requisite 20 or 30? What is this? Oh, well, I guess one would have to live in the, quote, sovereign state, close quote, of Iraq in order to see what is going to be on Iraqi television. This is so sick, it just makes me want to scream. How, isn't this neat? Isn't this all nicely tied up, the package sealed and dropped into the black hole of nothingness, all the stories and the tales that Saddam could tell, all the stories and tales that Noriega could tell, all the stories and tales that so many of our former dictators, our little puppet dictators, think of everything that Pinochet could have told, all the stories, think of the stories that the Shah of Iran could have told. But one gets cancer and another one dies of old age and this one gets hanged and that one winds up in the Miami detention center deep in the bowels of a prison someplace underneath the water table of Miami, Florida, and there he will stay until he dies. But wouldn't you think it would be, oh, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for, Kathy? Expeditious? No. Wouldn't it be proper? No. I don't know. Wouldn't it be blank, you fill it in, truth seeker, to bring Saddam to the United States and have him appear before a congressional committee? And let them ask questions. Mr. Dictator, how did you get those weapons of mass destruction back in the 80s? Mr. Dictator, why did you use poison gas? Or did you even use poison gas on the Kurds? Was that you or the Iranians? And don't lie, Mr. Saddam Dictator, because, you know, when this hearing is over, you go back to the, quote, government of Iraq, close quote, where you will be hanged. So you might as well tell the truth. How convenient. You suppose this is the reason that the invasion of Iraq occurred to begin with? Other, of course, than establishing permanent military bases and keeping the Iraqi oil off the market. But this very conveniently silences forever the one person on earth who could explain to who cares, what really happened between the United States government of Ronald Reagan and George Herbert Walker Bush and Saddam Hussein. So he will be hanged by his neck until dead. We are known as a disposable society, and that is true where it concerns our puppet dictators as well. Once they are no longer useful, invade their country, arrest them, let the local, quote, government, close quote, put them on trial if necessary, and find them guilty, and kill them. Today is the, I didn't want to get into any of this negative crap tonight kind of thing. I just didn't. I figured that if ever there is to be 3 or 4 days of this program where it's not just all of this stuff, it should be the short week between Christmas and New Year's. But there's just something ugly about this, you know? It really is. I'm certainly not saying that Saddam doesn't deserve punishment of some sort, I guess. I don't know what he did. I have no idea. I know he's a dictator bastard. So is practically everybody we supported in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s all over the world. Governments. I don't care who they were. South Korean, Japanese, Nicaraguan, Cuban. It doesn't make any difference. All those countries in Africa. We supported the military dictatorships, South America, all over the planet. That's how we did. Every one of them was an evil, murderous bastard. Every single one of them. South Vietnam. And when we got to the point where our murderous bastards were no longer valuable to us, we had them executed or shot or thrown out of an airplane or imprisoned or hanged or something. Wow. What a country, man. Us. By that, I mean, what a government, huh? What a government. This is the second anniversary of the tsunami that hit Indonesia that killed 250,000 people. I wonder, and there are services and remembrances around the globe. I wonder what sort of service they will have on the second anniversary of the Katrina hurricane that slammed into the Mississippi Gulf Coast here in the United States. We didn't lose 250,000 people. It was merely the worst natural disaster ever to hit the United States. And we still have people living in shacks and in the mud in Mississippi and in Louisiana. I wonder what, are we going to have something, some sort of a commemoration for them? Next year. You know, the first anniversary doesn't count. Everybody's still in a state of shock. You know, when a tragedy like this occurs, when a disaster, especially a natural disaster, you know, a year later, it's like, oh, God. By the second year, when you look around and say, holy Christ, nothing's been done. That's when we start to take interest again. In the meantime, the people in Mississippi Gulf Coast, buck up, folks. You only have about another 8 months to go of living in slime and swill and disease and germs. And unless you're in the gambling industry. If you're in the gambling industry, you probably have your job back. Not quite as much as you're being paid last time. If you're in the construction industry, well, you probably have a job if you are from Mexico or Guatemala or Nicaragua or some of our friendly Central American countries, because, you know, you folks are being brought into work in Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama. There's no unions allowed, no laws that guarantee that people have to be paid what the prevailing wage was. No, Bush took care of that right after somebody said, well, Mike, but he's rescinded that. Okay, well then, did someone forget to notify the construction companies down there? Oh well. So, to the people who are suffering and dying and going insane on the United States Mississippi Gulf Coast, or as Bush calls it, that part of the world, you folks only have about another 8 months. Can you hold on? Any chance you can hold on? Smoke a little more crack, eat some more drugs, try to hold on. By the time we get to the second anniversary of your disaster, I don't know, maybe some folks will come down and help you out, build you a couple houses, get some money down there. Or maybe by the third anniversary. Surely by the fourth. Okay. By the fifth anniversary, oh, never mind.
I don't think anybody anticipated the breach of the levees.
Can you imagine if they could get Pink Floyd to the rock festival in Pyongyang? Kim Il Crazy would just wet himself, wouldn't he? He would see that. He'd see that big pig, you know, from the Animals album that they still use. Everyone's got that snorting, flame erupting pig up above the stage, and those strobes go off, and I could just see Kim Il Crazy just run for the DMZ saying, "Hi, arrest me! Arrest me!" From Mike in St. Paul, boy, that Rock for Peace deal in North Korea is weird, isn't it? The homepage has a picture of Kurt Cobain. God. Are we to believe the dictators that run that place like Nirvana? What about Kurt's song, Rape Me? Of course, how long has poor Kurt been dead? Oh, my God. It's just crazy. It's crazy. Saddam Hussein will be hanged, and Kim Il Crazy's having a rock concert. Jesus Christ, think about that for a second. Just, I mean, let your mind go. Go ahead. Yeah. The tally for the waste, and I don't like the word waste. I prefer the word theft. For Hurricane Katrina, repair could top $2 billion. Part of the reason is half of the contracts, the lucrative government contracts valued at $500,000 or greater for cleanup work, are being awarded with no competition. Who do you suppose they're going to? Those contracts, huh? Sure, of course. Federal investigators, I guess these would be career people, who will probably soon be fired. Federal investigators have already determined the Bush administration squandered, that's an interesting word, $1 billion on fraudulent disaster aid to individuals after the storm. So, let's see, $2 billion and $1 billion, that's $3 billion. In January coming, investigators will release the first of several audits examining more than $12 billion. That's 12,000 million in Katrina contracts. The charges range from political favoritism to limited opportunities for small and minority-owned firms, which initially got only 1.5% of the total work. Oh, Jesus. Who cares about this? See, nobody cares. Nobody cares about this. The government auditors, I don't know why they're doing it. Why do they care? Really? I mean, I know you care, and I care, and you know who really cares are the people who are trapped in southern Mississippi and Louisiana, some little pieces of Alabama, who are trapped down there, who can't, and stranded around the country. It's the second anniversary. It was all over television today about the tsunami in Indonesia, and that was a horrifying event, one of the worst natural disasters probably in modern history. When you have that many people die, 250,000 people dead that they know of, possibly 500,000, maybe 1 million, who knows? See, because they're people in third world countries. Who keeps track? You know, who does census on some island off the coast of Bali, which is itself an island? Who cares? Who pays attention? Nobody pays attention. Come on. But here in the United States, that is not a third world country. Goldman Sachs is paying out tens of millions upon millions upon millions upon millions upon millions of dollars in bonuses. I was reading in the Times yesterday about how all of a sudden the fund managers who last year ordered 2,300 square foot apartments for $10 million have now decided to upgrade, and they want one for $20 million with 3,000 square feet. Most of the people in this country, and I'm acutely aware that the modifier I'm using, most of the people in this country, when they heard today or yesterday that Saddam Hussein had to be executed within 30 days, will say, well, if some bitch got a trial, he deserves it. You know, okay, what's for dinner? And that's it. That's the end of the story. I'll bet you there's not. I'm discounting people who listen to Nova Network, to KPHX. Progressives, liberals. There's still a few of us left. We would hear the story and go, wait a minute, wait. He's got to be executed within 30 days. First of all, his trial was a farce. Is he an evil bastard? Yeah. Is Bush evil? Yeah. Is Cheney? Yeah. Got to keep it in perspective, right? But the average American is just going to go, oh, Saddam, oh, yeah, really? Saddam who? What's this about? Huh? Who's getting hanged? Oh, Christ, I don't care. But there it goes. There it all goes down the memory hole. It's gone. When Saddam dies, all the truth of Reagan and Bush 1 and Bush 2 and, yes, your hero Bill Clinton, and all the people who tortured and twisted the people of this country, Iraq, all the people who prior to Clinton set up the deals, the dirty, scummy arrangements, they'll all be protected. Henry Kissinger escapes again. The son of a bitch escapes again, Kissinger. He was making blood deals back in the late 50s and the 60s and the 70s and the 80s and the 90s. And he escapes again. Henry Kissinger sees one more sentence to death.
Well, there's just one more. I'll never find out. I want to eat some more steak. Am I married? I must go on CNN later on tonight and talk about peace.
Welcome back. Seven past the hour. Now, I've been asked to make an announcement. This is regarding the Katrina thing. I've just been sharing with you that the waste and the fraud that perpetrated by the Bush crime family, and this is deliberate and conscious. This is not people stealing from George Bush or FEMA or Dick Cheney or the rest of these evil bastards. This is deliberate, just as it is in this horrible situation in Iraq, as it is in any enterprise that Bush and his thugs get involved in. This is theft, fraud. It is deliberate. It is with malice aforethought. It is punishable. It is in violation of the law. Yada, 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 yada. All right? So let's not call it waste or mistakes or poor bookkeeping. This is theft. This is grand larceny. And people are dying because of it, but people are dying all over the world because of George Bush and his thuggish action. Now, there are going to be two things that these right-wing, filthy talk show hosts are going to do when they all come back from vacation the first of the year. First, convince you that the hanging of Saddam Hussein is just and proper because, after all, he did get a fair trial. And secondly, that things are going fine in the Mississippi Gulf Coast area because our great leader, George W. Bush, says it is. Oh, there might be a few mistakes down there, but what the hell, you got to have broken eggs to make an omelet, right? And all that crap. So billions upon billions wasted in the Mississippi Gulf Coast. People dying. People going slowly, but inexorably insane. Children and teenagers who are not going to make it, Truth Seeker. They're not going to make it. Because their homes, their lives, their families' lives, their schools, their churches, their Boy Scout troops, their gangs, I don't care what it was, it's all been destroyed. There is nothing. Think about it. Try to put yourself in that situation. You can't. Neither can I. Now, there are individuals who are trying to do something. Better to light a single candle than curse the darkness. There's some people trying to light a single candle. Sarge, who checks in with this program all the time, is one of them, and he's got some help. Bob Kincaid at Head On Radio. Some folks with Nova M Radio, the flagship station in Phoenix. Bob Kincaid is in West Virginia. Sarge is in Mississippi. The folks at Head On are in, Nova M are in Arizona. Better to light a single candle than curse the darkness. Sarge sent me an email. Nova M, Head On Radio Network, and UnreportedNews.net need truck drivers who are able to volunteer space to transport goods donated for the Jackson County, Mississippi Community Services Coalition. This will be to help the man down there that we can't seem to get on the program. We tried all during, Jim Yancey. We'll get him on eventually. Jim Yancey and his coalition, they need this, the stuff transported down there to help get people back into their homes and back to their lives. So if you are a truck driver, or you're able to, and on the next time you're going through southern Mississippi, or if you're going down in that area and you got some extra space on your truck, I don't know how any of this works, so here's what you do. Go, just send an email to sarge@unreportednews.net. sarge@unreportednews.net. Just start there. And just get some information. If you don't drive a truck, but you know somebody who does, if you're not an over-the-road driver, but you know somebody who is, just go to Sarge's website and get the damn information. You don't have to do it. I don't drive a truck. There's not a damn thing I can do. I don't have a truck that I can drive to Mississippi. But I'm going to pass this information on. I do happen to know a couple of truck drivers. And I know we have a lot of them listening to us on Sirius Satellite Radio. So here's what I'm asking you to do. Light a candle. That's all I'm asking you to do. Send an email to sarge@unreportednews.net. That's all. And just ask him, what the hell's Malloy talking about? What is this? What do you need? What do you need? Okay, so that means truck drivers. That's what they're looking for now. They're getting donations together, apparently. They need some way to get it there. So just will you do that? sarge@unreportednews.net. He'll give you the information or direct you to a place where you can get the information. The waste, just think. I'm looking here at this story from from CNN. The headline is Katrina waste could top $2 billion next year. It's already $1 billion on fraudulent disaster aid. $2 billion more. Can you imagine? Can you get your mind around this? I can't. If Sarge and Bob Kincaid and a couple of these people had their hands on $2-3 billion. For Katrina aid, can you imagine what would get done? Because they're honest men. These are honest men. These are honorable men. I've had lots of contact with Bob Kincaid and Sarge. And I can guarantee you that people at Nova M are honorable. On top of all this, I got word that Bob Kincaid's dad had a heart attack Friday night. And Bob and his wife Agnes, who produces his show, are staying at the hospital in Charleston, West Virginia. I don't mean to overwhelm you, not trying to overwhelm you, not trying to bum you out, not trying to screw up this one little week between Christmas and New Year's where all of us, certainly me, try to catch our breath. We try to catch our breath, don't I? I don't mean we don't work. Most of us have to work. But we try to catch our breath. If you watch CNN or any of these other crappy-ass cable news networks today, like I did occasionally today, between bouts of drinking Theraflu and... Oh, don't email me about how Theraflu will actually rot my bones away. I know it's no damn good for me, but it's good symptomatic relief, so please don't. I don't want to hear about your Auntie Jane's recipe using, you know, dirt bark and stuff. You know, just give me the damn Theraflu. I don't care. But between sucking down glasses of Theraflu, the part I hate about Theraflu, it says on the label, because it has acetaminophen in, which all of a sudden is just the worst thing for you next to lead poisoning. If you drink more than two or three drinks a day and you take acetaminophen, your kidneys are going to fall out. So I'm just thinking, oh, damn. All right, what do I do here? Not that I drink two or three drinks a day. You know, Kathy says, Jesus, you worry a lot. You drink two or three drinks a week. But, you know, I don't know. But I watched the news today, and it's a dead week. You know, people are dying. You know, more American Marines and soldiers are being blown to pieces, more Iraqis. But, you know, that goes on all the time now. So, other than the families that it really affects, let's focus on those $20 million bonus checks that the people at some of the brokerage firms in New York made. I mean, that's what they want us to focus on. It's been all over the news. It's not just Goldman Sachs. There's other companies up there. Millions upon tens of millions of dollars of bonuses. And we have people in the United States who are living in what amounts to plastic tarps. So, don't want to bum you out. Not trying to screw up your post-holiday buzz. But, you know, please send an email to sarge@unreportednews.net and ask him what this is all about. If you're a truck driver, if you're an over-the-road driver, if you own a trucking company, Jesus God, if you happen to be listening, you sit on the board of directors of a trucking company. You want to be a hero? Send an email to sarge@unreportednews.net. But there's going to be warfare up there in outer space. It's been a hard day on the planet. How much is it all worth? It's getting harder to understand it. Things are tough.
I think there ought to be zero tolerance of looting. It's very important for the citizens in all affected areas to take personal responsibility and assume kind of a civic sense of responsibility.
A what? God, what a jackass. Okay, let's do some phone calls here while, I figure out some other way to screw up your week. No, I'm not trying to do that, and I know you're not taking it that way. This stuff happens. You know, 1,300 people died on the Mississippi Gulf Coast. Hundreds of thousands of people homeless. Tens of billions of dollars of damage. Homes and businesses gone. And nobody's doing anything. I mean, there it appears that things are being done. The gambling casinos are being built. Trent Lott's home is okay. I guess he's got his new front porch, so he and George can sit there and talk about the colored folks as they drink and smoke or whatever they do. But this has to be done. We can't allow this to just sit there. This is in our country. We go other countries and cause death and devastation, but certainly in our country, can't we, just send an email to Sarge@unreportednews.net and ask him what the hell this is all about, especially if you have a truck and have some time. All right, will you do that? Okay, thanks. Appreciate it. Seriously. The phone number here, Kathy says, for God's sake, shut up and give the phone number. The phone number is 800-989-1480. Let's do some calls. Let's start with Mark in San Francisco. Mark, welcome to the program.
Hello, Mike.
Yes.
It's very good to hear your voice again on
Thank
the radio.
You.
It's been a long time. It's wonderful. I wanted to speak to the subject of Saddam Hussein's premature execution.
Okay.
Which you brought up. The thing is that Saddam Hussein, yes, committed a lot of crimes through not just in his own country, but in the region against Iran also. And the problem is that we supplied him, if not with chemical weapons, the precursors for it.
Right.
And Rumsfeld was number one. They know this. They worked heavily with the Bush crime family. Mm-hmm. And I question this one thing. Was this a law in Iran before Proconsul Bremer? Or is this something that they very conveniently put in, that he has to be executed? Now, I don't believe in the capital punishment at all, but still, I mean, there's no way of stopping it. But was... is it that this was actually something when they did have a jurisprudence and they had a law like this, or is this something that was put in to cover for them?
I think it's the latter.
I do believe. I don't know for a fact.
I don't think the laws that were extant under Saddam Hussein still apply in that country. As a matter of fact, I can with pretty much assurance say they do not. This is a pretend. This is makeup stuff. This is, let's pretend like they have a constitution.
Right.
Let's pretend like there is a rule of law in that country. Let's just pretend. Meanwhile, the country is just spiraling into chaos. It's not even civil war anymore. It is beyond whatever the next level down from civil war is. I don't know. Maybe it's hell. But this is not law from the Ba'ath Party. That was the political party that Saddam headed. Saddam probably is a real bastard. He probably is a torturer.
We know he is.
His two sons, who are now dead, if you believe the stories, they used to torture people just for sport.
I know.
You know, may all those people just rot in hell someplace. But for us to claim that this is some sort of justice turns their crimes into farce. And I don't think we have a right to turn crimes against humanity into farce.
We don't. It curdles my sense of justice. The thing is, the crimes that were committed, that were done in cahoots with the U.S. government, have to be exposed, but they now have a convenient way of getting rid of it. I think what he's really, pardon me, he's being convicted of is of one of his massacres,
right.
within his own state. But it doesn't have a connection to the U.S. government.
Well, right, that's
it. And that's what they're doing.
That's it. Mark, I have to leave it there. Thanks. You did hit on one of the truisms in a sea of lies and deception, though. They put him on trial for something that would not show a connection back to the evil handlers that set him up to begin with. America.
bang, 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 bang. Boom, 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 boom. Bang, 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 bang. I love the way you walk, and I love the way you talk.
The Mike Malloy Show. You are now entering a flying monkey free zone.
You knocked me out, out off of my feet. Boom, 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 boom. Bang, 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 bang. Boom, 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 boom.
26 before the hour. Back to your phone calls here in just a second. This email quick from Darren in North Carolina. He writes, Mike, isn't it amazing how torturing at Abu Ghraib is fine? Detention without a trial at Gitmo is A-okay. But Saddam Hussein gets a, quote, trial, close quote, and, quote, an appeal, close quote. Now, Darren writes, I'm all with you that the trial was a sham, but I'm adamantly against the death penalty regardless. But these deviating standards of policy show what a managed sham the stupid war really is. From Darren. Thanks, Darren. Yeah, people who are scooped up in Afghanistan or Pakistan or wherever the Bush crime family now steals people, Europe, Africa, doesn't make any difference, and send them to Gitmo, they are held without charges. They're held with incommunicado. They're held, if not at Gitmo, at various prisons, secret prisons, detention holes around the planet, a gulag like was established, if not established under Stalin, certainly enhanced under Stalin. That's what we do now. But Saddam, you see, gets the big show trial. He's accused of murdering, I think he was convicted of murdering 168 or 186 people. The people who are scooped up in Pakistan or France or Argentina, wherever the hell we scoop them up and sent to these detention centers, or who are renditioned to prisons that around the world that we now operate with cooperative governments, they're not even told what the hell they're charged with. Did you do what I suggested over the holiday and read your Kafka? So Darren's point is well taken. Saddam gets a trial. He's accused of murder. He gets a trial with quotes around it. Come on, come on. But the people that we are snatching and putting and torturing, they get nothing. They don't even know what their charges against them are. Son of a bitch, where do we live? Where do we live? What? Where do we live? And for people that say, oh, come on, Malloy, you know, the military runs the detention centers and a sovereign nation tried Saddam, I would answer by saying, a sovereign nation? Are you out of your freaking mind? What sovereign nation? Iraq? Like Panama was a sovereign nation ever since its creation. There never was a Panama. Oh, never mind. All right, let's go back to some phone calls here. Bill is calling from Phoenix. Bill, welcome to the program.
This is Reverend Bill, thank you.
Reverend Bill?
Reverend Bill, yes. I called you about,
Jesus,
I guess it was about
you.
3 weeks ago.
All right, well, what do you want now, Bill?
Well, I want to wish you a very happy holidays. I know it's very difficult for you atheists at this time of year.
No, you don't want to wish me a happy anything. You want to see my ass in hell, and you know it.
Well, now, I don't wish that on anyone.
Oh, yes, you
only
do.
Only the Lord makes those calls. I do not. I'm a servant
come
of the
on.
Lord.
Bill, you'd be happy to hear the fat on my body crackling out of some grate that is in your living room that is an entrance way to hell. You
now,
know
see,
you'd like
your,
to hear
that.
That
is your opinion of all Christians, and you must have met some very poor
Christians.
No,
not all Christians, Bill, just the freaks like you. Now, why did you
call
me?
Now, why are you calling me a freak when I call in to give you some advice, a remedy, how to get over that flu?
Why do you call a tomato plant a tomato plant?
Do you want to get over that that influenza and that bug that keeps hanging on you?
No, I've got a demon inside of me.
Well, let's get rid of that demon. I'm going to give you the remedy now.
Go ahead.
Okay. Now, this is a remedy from my childhood. Whenever we would get the sniffles, my mother in Georgia.
I know, she'd make you read the Bible.
My mother in Georgia would... We lived in southwest Georgia, I'm sorry.
Well, that explains a lot, Bill.
Well, Well, now, see, there is that cynical streak coming out.
I know. Come on. Get to the remedy. Cut back on the family history. I really don't care. Does this involve snakes?
I am a snake handler, and I've been handling viperous liberals for quite some time. But let's get down to the remedy, shall we?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. It's apple cider vinegar and honey. You take a cup of apple cider vinegar, heat it up, and stir in a teaspoonful of honey.
Yeah.
You take about 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C.
Bill, I've been doing this. I mean, you think that's from Southeast Georgia? My wife knows that one, and she's from Decatur, Georgia.
Well,
so
then there's one missing ingredient, and that is if you come to the Lord.
Well, where do I go?
You don't have to go anywhere. Just get down on your knees and come to the Lord.
Come to
the Lord. And profess your faith in Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Let me ask you something, Bill. Is Saddam going to hell?
Well, I just now said I don't make those calls.
Well, no, just in your humble, worthless opinion, is Saddam going to hell?
Well, if I had to make that call, I would say yes. I think that.
But you don't believe your Jesus doesn't believe in forgiveness? Let me ask you something else, a little easier. Can you turn that cold remedy you just gave me? Can you turn that into wine?
Now, see.
Let me give you another one. Is Rumsfeld going to hell? He gave Saddam the weapons.
I don't know.
Are these two, Bill? Are these questions too tough for you? I've got some other ones.
Unlike yourself, I'm really not a judgmental person, as you are. You know, atheism is a religion without a God. You know that?
Wait a minute. Hold on. Let me write that down. Atheism is a religion without a God.
Yes, because it's a belief system like any other. It's a religion. It's just an anti-religion, but it is a belief system.
Vinegar. You know, I don't know what to tell you, Bill. Atheism is not a religion. It's darkness. It's really light that's all been covered up with darkness, right?
Now, say that again.
Gotcha.
No, I don't think that made sense.
Gotcha!
I don't think that makes sense there.
Repeat after me. Tomato plant. All right, Bill, I got to go. Listen, it's entertaining hearing from you. I hope to hear from you again. I'm going to go gargle some wine or something. Thanks, Bill. Talk to you later. See you around. Oh, he means well. No, he doesn't. He doesn't mean well at all.
What did you ask him? If Jesus could turn the vinegar into wine?
No, I asked him if he could. Whew. Reverend Bill. What? I forgot. Next time he calls in, if he ever does again, I want to ask him where he got his divinity degree. Probably Yale Divinity School, right? I'm sure. Or maybe UNC Chapel Hill or Duke. Wake Forest. University of Georgia. I don't know. I just want to find out where he got his divinity degree. Paul is calling from Colorado. Paul, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. Real quick, I missed this whole thing with Sergeant. What does he mean? Because I'm a truck driver with a company, and our company volunteered once before with right after Katrina, a whole bunch of trucks, I'm sorry because I was sleeping, and then I woke up and I turned you on, and I lost like half of it. What did you need the trucks for?
What they're doing, they apparently, Sarge and some other people at Head On Radio Network and Novem Radio Network have gotten some companies to volunteer some building equipment, or building materials, I should say, to if not volunteer, sell it very dirt cheap. I would imagine volunteer, and I don't know where this stuff is, but it needs. Sarge sent me an email and said if you can put the word out that we need truck drivers to bring this stuff down. If there are truck drivers that have some extra space on their vehicles, I don't know what. I doubt if Sarge is going to ask somebody to take off work. I mean, we all have to work. And do this. But what you need to do is just send an email to Sarge at unreportednews.net, unreportednews, just like it sounds, .net, and send it to Sarge and just ask him. He's got the details. I just don't have the details, Paul, but if you have done this before or you have access to vehicles like this, he'd love to talk with you.
He needs flatbed, so listen, you don't mind if I just do this on the radio. any prime flatbed, 67002 is my truck. Message me, and I'll talk to the boss and see what we can do again.
Right now, how do people message you?
They know what I just said. We have onboard computer.
Oh, okay.
It's my truck number, 67002.
Okay.
Message me. I'll talk to the boss. We'll see what we can do, and I'll email Sarge then. Sarge@unreportednews.net.
That's it. Sarge@unreportednews.net.
It sounds like he needs a couple of flatbeds, you know, three or four flatbeds. I mean, we'll see what if we can interval them down there. I'll tell him to just call, you know, if he could call the company that, you know, I don't want to give the company a plug. It's Prime. And we've done this before, right after Katrina. As a matter of fact, like 22 trucks or something, we volunteered to take food down there.
Good Lord. Well, Sarge needs to hear from you. He would be absolutely thrilled to hear from you.
I will email him. I will be in a place where I can actually get my, turn on my laptop in a
Super.
Little while.
Super.
One other thing, Mike.
Yeah.
If I may, you know, I have to say thank you to you for at least doing this. Because when I turned the TV on earlier on today in my truck, I saw things about the tsunami. Some lady not being able to have kids because she had her tubes tied knot. I'm tying her to. This is on major news networks talking about tsunami. We got people in the United States after Katrina that still suffer.
It's mind-boggling. Paul, thanks for checking in, pal.
I will email him. Thank you for at least caring, Mike. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Border to border and coast to coast, The Mike Malloy Show. All substance, no abuse.
Ten before the hour. Gordon in Oklahoma says, Mike, if atheism is a religion, is baldness a hair color? Regarding Reverend Bill, yeah. And from Reg over at TVNewsLies.org, regarding Saddam's hanging, Reg writes, one of the more subtle motives of Saddam's execution is to increase the violence and continue the chaos. The response from the Sunni populace will be enormous, probably coming from everywhere in the region. Vengeance on the Shia will make the bloodletting we have witnessed to date seem tame and relatively controlled. It will be so very horrific, and so few people really care. And the greater the violence, the more Americans will be told that our troops are, quote, needed, close quote, in Iraq, and the more the expected surge will be rationalized. Arabs killing Arabs is something the PNAC boys enjoy. They'll be partying in spades as people continue to die. Happy Bloody New Year. Yeah, I hadn't thought of that one. I probably would have gotten a glimpse of that chaos at some point. Continue the violence. Above all else, continue the violence. Back to your phone calls. Matt is calling from Silver Spring, Maryland. Hey, Matt.
Hey. He's beginning to look a lot like Hitler every holiday.
Yeah, right.
Boy, you know, I live in Silver Spring. I'm hop, skipping a jump from D.C.
Right.
We're down at the White House every Saturday, and that was one of the tunes we were singing in front of the White House the other day.
I like that. That's got a beat to it, and you can dance to it, too, so I'd give it a 7.
Well, you know, the tourists love it. It's we're out there. It's called, you might check out our website, it's called yellowcakewalk.net.
Yellowcakewalk.net?
Yeah, .net.
Okay.
And we have a bunch of signs in different languages, and tourists love it. They want to get their pictures taken with the signs. The signs say everything from F. Bush to anything else you can think of. I mean, you know, less abrasive things, too, and they're in different languages. People choose the one they want, and they're, you know, we have about 80 of them in different languages. People love it.
So, like tourists from out of the country, they can pick their home language if they want to?
Yeah.
That's great. That's very ecumenical.
I tell you, I'm convinced the most ignorant morons in this world live in this country.
I think so.
I have no doubt about it anymore.
Yeah, I know. It's a shame because it doesn't have to be that way. I don't think we are any more or less inherently ignorant or stupid than any other tribe. But we have several institutions in this country that are designed to keep us or make us ignorant and stupid and make us forget things, and those institutions have been very successful.
Tell me, do you have any? I haven't heard anyone talk about it. Do you have any opinions about or theories about Tom Johnson and what happened to him?
No, I think it was some sort of a medical thing that I don't think that there was some effort to get him out of the Senate by doing what the Russians do when they want to remove somebody, although it's hard to tell anymore. But I think Senator Johnson had what what the press releases or his doctors said he had, a cluster of nerves that were causing pressure inside his brain, and the result was similar to a stroke.
Well, it's interesting to hear what doctors say. I mean, they'll say a lot of things that they're either told to say these days. I mean, it seems like nobody's allowed to tell the truth anymore. But I did a little research, and because I was really, I mean, the once again, just the stunning coincidences.
Right.
And I was looking into, you know, I decided to look up on the Internet to find out what other famous people, particularly politicians, had brain hemorrhages. And they said, from what I was reading, guy who had written all about it was indicating that it's one of those things that is primarily caused by either impact to the head or something of that nature. And he also mentioned a stun gun. And this came out, like, you know, even before. This didn't even involve Tom Johnson, but he was saying that can trigger it, and it made me think, because I looked at what Johnson had on his agenda, and he was talking about seriously investigating the anthrax virus, the 9/11 failure to respond.
Mm-hmm.
And then I looked into people who had died of mm-hmm. brain hemorrhages. Bill Gates died of a brain hemorrhage one day before he was subpoenaed to testify about Iran-Contra.
You're talking not Bill Gates, you're talking about Bill Casey.
Bill Casey.
Right.
Yeah. Ariel Sharon, when he decided that he was going to end the conflict, that's when he had his brain hemorrhage.
Well, I know, but aren't you, and don't misunderstand, I'm not being critical here, because I see the coincidences too sometimes, and it freaks me out, but aren't we getting a little bit into that idea, I'm paraphrasing, but, you know, the rooster gets up every morning and crows, and the sun comes up, and the rooster thinks that he makes the sun come up because he happens to crow, when in fact it's the other way around. So, you got to be kind of careful with that stuff, although it is difficult. I fully admit that it's difficult to know what the hell the truth is anymore, but I don't know. You could be onto something, you know.
I mean, you know, I agree. Anything's possible, and I just might add one more was he was the prime minister in Iraq in like 1963.
Yeah.
And from what I was reading, Hussein was the one that was sent to kill him.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't be surprised.
He was a CIA agent at the time,
Matt,
and he apparently failed.
Matt, I have to leave
CIA...
it. I got to leave it there, Matt. Thanks. I appreciate it. You may be onto something. Keep digging. Keep researching.
decided that we're really not to blame for the love that's deep inside us now. It's still the same. And the sound we make together is the music to the story in your eyes. It's been shining down upon you now. You're alive. And you listen to the tide slowly turning. Watch your heart.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. I want to toss this into the mix, too, and then we're coming back to your phone calls. This is in today's Boston Globe. And let me just read the first few sentences here. It's not a lengthy article, but too long to read on the program. The armed forces, already struggling to meet recruiting goals, are considering expanding the number of non-citizens in the ranks, including disputed proposals to open recruiting stations overseas and putting more immigrants on a faster track to U.S. citizenship if they volunteer, according to Pentagon officials. Foreign citizens serving in the U.S. military is a highly charged issue which could expose the Pentagon to criticism that it is essentially using mercenaries to defend the country. Other analysts voice concern that a large contingent of non-citizens under arms could jeopardize national security or reflect badly on Americans' willingness to serve in uniform. However, the idea of signing up foreigners who are seeking U.S. citizenship is gaining traction as a way to address a critical need for the Pentagon while fully absorbing some of the roughly 1 million immigrants that enter the United States legally each year. With severe manpower strains because of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan and a mandate to expand the overall size of the military, the Pentagon is under pressure to consider a variety of proposals involving foreign recruits, according to a military affairs analyst. This is how sick these evil bastards that run this country have made this country. You know, there are, I don't know how many people are of military age. What's military age? 18 to 45? I have no idea in this country. Must be at least 50 million, 100 million. But the point is, nobody in this country, other than people who, let me rephrase, very few people in this country are joining the military because they feel that the country is being threatened. I'm sure that of the half million or 800,000 under arms right now in this country, probably some of them really do feel that we're being threatened by Muslims. Jesus God. Or as Bush puts it, terrorists. But people are not joining the United States military in numbers necessary to finance these hideous wars of imperialism because Americans just don't want to. I don't think it's because we're cowardly. I don't think it's because we're not motivated. If this country were attacked, I think everybody in this country would respond pretty much the way people respond, like, oh, I don't know, let me think of a few. Vietnamese, Nicaraguans, Iraqis. You know, when a country is attacked and invaded, the people usually respond. So that's not the issue. We don't want your stinking war, Mr. Bush. You dumb bastard, we don't want it. There are very few Americans who in this day and age want to go kill so that some evil son of a bitch can go buy a Hummer or an SUV and get 9 miles to the gallon. There's not very many of us, Mr. Bush, that want to do that. Why don't you understand that? There's not very many of us who want to go die so that you and your filthy business partners can continue to make money. There just don't happen to be a lot of us left in this country, you evil bastard. Why do you not understand that? Look at the poll numbers. We don't like you, and we hate your stinking war. We know it's bogus. It has nothing to do with terrorism. My God, so now we're going to do this. Not only has the United States military lowered its standard to the point its standards to the point where we now take into the military rapists, murderers, killers, thugs, hubcap thieves, crack dealers, punks. I've told the story several times. When I got my notice to report for induction in 1965, and took my physical at Jacksonville Naval Air Station, or Mayport Naval Air Station outside Jacksonville, and the sergeant said, anybody in this room ever been arrested and charged with anything that involved a fine of more than $200 or any kind of jail? And I raised my hand. I said, well, I got arrested one time for doing 45 miles an hour in a 25 zone, and I got fined $200 in court costs. Does that count? And the sergeant looked back where I was, and he said, you dumb bastard, what did I just say? Oh, okay. So I went down the hall where there was a young guy who, a Navy guy who's sitting there and at the desk, and he said, all right, what's your story? And I said, well, I was speeding one time when I was 16, and I got a ticket. And it was $200 in court costs because the judge thought I was being a smartass. I said, does this give me a morals waiver for that? And the young Navy guy, who was probably 3 years younger than me at the time, I was in my early 20s, he looked at me and he said, you don't realize what kind of a ticket you're being given here. Take it. Do you want to go to Vietnam? He said it'll take 3, 4, 5 months for the military to figure this out. In the meantime, maybe you can go to Canada. So I took the morals waiver because I didn't have any choice because I was a dumb bastard, according to the sergeant. So I took the morals waiver. And to make a long story short, I was married at the time. Make a long story short, within a couple of months, my wife and I were pregnant, and that's how I got out of the military. But they didn't want to take me until they found out whether or not my $200 fine, what the hell it was for. And now the United States military standards are so in the toilet, thanks to Rumsfeld and Bush and Cheney and the Project for a New American Century, that they'll take anybody, including mercenaries. Ah, you evil sons of bitches, you have really destroyed whatever honor and dignity still remained in military tradition. Now, the next time you hear one of these toadstools like Sean Hannity or Rush Limbaugh or Dennis Prager or Mike Gallagher or some of these other right-wing cretin draft-dodging bastards on the radio talk about how the Democrats have defunded the military or reduced the military, stop and think about this story. The Republicans have screwed it so badly that they now want to recruit foreign nationals. Now, where do you suppose they're going to set up the first recruitment outposts? That's right, Eastern Europe and Africa. Watch. Nigeria, Liberia. Romania. Yugoslavia, what's left of it. The Czech Republic, watch. The country of Georgia, Uzbekistan, Turkmenistan. That's what they've done. That's what they've done. Unbelievable. Fast track to American citizenship. Come here. Come here. Let me put you in this uniform. And do you speak English? You do? Okay, good. Let me put you in this uniform, and you go over here and kill for Exxon. You go kill for Coca-Cola. You go murder for the pharmaceutical industries. You go kill because George W. Bush is a cowardly little wasty pants who wants to see other people die so he can play general. You go do that, and if you survive, dumbass, you can become an American citizen. How's that? You like that? Huh? How do you say like that in your goofy language? Huh?
up. Enough is enough, is enough, is enough. Open your eyes, time to wake up. Enough is enough, is enough, is enough.
Because life's too short to listen to right-wing radio, it's more of Mike Malloy.
It's 21 past the hour. Back to your phone calls here. Billy is calling from Phoenix. Billy, welcome to the program.
Oh, hi.
Hey.
Well, not all of us people from Phoenix are so crazy as Reverend Bill. I'm not a reverend, but I'm Billy.
Okay.
Yeah. I've been waiting to talk to you. You're so feeling very good tonight compared to usual.
I am?
Yeah, it seems like you're really in a good mood. And I don't want to spoil that, but...
Okay.
I'm not a crazy, but I have some information I passed along to your friend, Mike Newcomb.
Yeah.
And it's concerning an object that's approaching our space.
Yeah.
It's four or five times the size of Earth. And it was reported by the Nightly News in 2003 and has not been.
Can I interrupt just a second? Your bagpipe machine is going off.
Oh, yeah. That's Amazing Grace.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, sorry. I know you have a hard time with Jesus, too.
That's okay.
Yeah, well, he's cool. Yeah. You know, he's not weird.
Yeah, I've read about this. It's like some huge planet that's lurking out there beyond Pluto. I brought it up on my program a couple of years ago, and I just, you know, I thought, wow, I'm going to bring this up because this is really some spooky stuff. And I think everyone who was listening that night, the emails... most of them said, "Oh Jesus, Malloy, please, you know, stop."
I know that's what I get too.
Huh? Yeah,
I get that stuff all the time because they don't want to. It's kind of secret stuff, and Jennings.
Secret? How the hell could it be secret?
I don't have no idea except that they're able to do it.
Oh, you mean
Peter Jennings snuck it onto the Nightly News in 2003, and I just happened to catch it. But I was already attuned to it because I listened to, like, late-night radio with all the weirdos, you know, so that are in tune with this stuff.
Yeah. What would you do if all of a sudden an announcement was made that such an object did exist, does exist, and is heading for our orbit around the sun, and the chances are fairly good that there's going to be a collision, and this is all going to take place within the next 6 or 7 years. What would you do?
I'm doing it right now. I'm ready. I'm getting ready. You know, you might say.
Now, how in the hell do you get ready for an extinction level event like that?
It won't be extinction. No, it's not extinction.
An object three or four times the size of the Earth.
Four or five. It's very huge, and it comes around every. 3,600.
Yeah. I understand, but you think you're going to survive?
Yeah. It all ties into the religious thing. I know you don't like to talk about that, but I feel quite safe with that.
What do you mean, the religious thing?
Yeah, the Jesus thing that you don't to talk about, but you
Jesus
talk about
Jesus is going
anyway.
To protect you?
Yeah. He's all in on this. I can go into all that, but you probably think I'm really weird if I told you I saw it.
Oh,
Jesus.
No. No, not at all. You told me what?
Well, I did see Jesus.
In a plate of spaghetti or what?
No, in my bedroom.
And I'm almost afraid to ask this. What was he doing?
He was shining light on me. Like, it was like a blinding light. And... yeah, really. It really happened. You know, so that's why I have a lot of confidence in my, when this thing comes around, I have a lot of confidence that I will probably do well.
Do well?
Yeah, do well.
How do you do well when Oh, no. I okay. All right. Well, listen, keep me posted.
Okay.
All right. As this thing gets closer, and I like to buy bagpipes. That's a nice touch.
Oh.
All right. Take care, Billy.
Okay.
All right. See you later. See you later. Bye-bye. All right. Take care. Jesus freaks and giant marauding planets. You know, they both scare the hell out of me. They really do. I certainly am not going to disagree with that. Well, that's why Peter Jennings died of cancer. Because he screwed up and revealed that this huge monster thing was coming in from the outer orbits of Tralfamador. And I saw that newscast. I saw it. And he mentioned it. And it was shortly after that he came on the air one night coughing and hacking and said, I'm going to be off for a while. Yeah.
Maybe some suggestions. And I bet they're going to ask me about man's insanity. You got a real nice planet here. Don't you better watch your atmosphere.
Sometimes get encapsulated in a bubble.
Twenty-six before the hour. What the hell is going on in Arizona tonight? I mean, is there some atmospheric condition out there?
Must be a comet.
A comet? Maybe some of these people are getting ready to put on their new Converse sneakers and jump on board. All right, back to your phone calls. Steve is calling from Los Angeles. Steve, welcome to the program.
Mike Malloy.
Hey, how you doing?
How you doing, man?
Good.
How are you? You know, the last guy, I think that was Litvinenko, that was calling into you, telling you that your mood was the highest he'd ever heard.
Well,
That blew my mind. It's like I hear you nasally and feeling like crap, and it's like, this guy's insane. Mike, you're so happy.
Yeah, well, I didn't want to screw up his whatever image he had.
That was nuts.
Well, whatever.
What the hell do you do with that?
Look, this is talk radio, you know?
I know.
I mean, once the gate's open, there's no stopping anything.
And speaking of the gate, and now that you're on Sirius, I don't know if you know this or not, all the Sirius channels have an official bong hit mascot.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, they do. And yours is the only one that doesn't have one yet.
Yeah?
And since I have this opportunity, I want to be known as Bong Hit Steve. And I want to christen
saying,
that.
Are you saying bong hit?
Yeah, it's a bong hit off a bong, man.
And Sirius has this for all their programs?
All of them.
Oh, my God, I can imagine what it's like on Howard Stern.
Talk to anyone at Howard 101 or Howard 100. It's official. You have to have a bong hit mascot.
Oh, okay.
And you're not really officially on Sirius unless you have one.
Okay.
And so I want to christen the new show. I do have a couple other topics, so don't hang up on me. The bong hit is only a formality.
Okay. Well, it's much
like placing your hand on the Quran, like Allison was accused of.
It's
totally a formality.
Oh, okay, so you want to be the bong hit?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, well, go for it.
You know, it's not something I normally do. It's not something I enjoy.
Oh, this is like what I used to call my bureau chiefs, I guess.
Right. This is all red tape.
Okay, all right. Well,
this
you
is,
got it. It's yours.
This is white coats and guesswork.
Well, you unless you have to check it with Sirius.
No.
I mean, if it's up
Kim
to me,
Sabian
it's yours.
Said it was cool. Here it goes.
Okay. Oh, you have to do that? Are you drowning? Hello, operator?
Okay. All right, next topic. The spirit of Christmas, Bush banned from birthplace of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, what was that? What was that story? He can't go there? He can't
go him, him and Blair are banned forever. And this has never been in the United States press.
Well, that doesn't seem fair, does it? I mean, but, why are they banned?
Well, they're banned for being war criminals and murderers of children.
Oh, that.
And
yeah,
therefore, the Church of Nativity decided to ban them.
I see. Well, that's...
They banned them access to the Holy Shrine forever.
Wow.
Not, you got a license expiration, you got DWI, whatever.
Right.
You know, you can't come back for 3 years, we're going to watch you, and then you
right.
can come back to the Holy Shrine.
Right.
None of that crap.
Right.
The Church of Nativity said, no.
Never.
You're a goddamn murderer.
Oh, well.
Yeah, that's harsh. It's bad. It's real bad. And I don't think a whole lot of people ever get that criticism, so it's hard to figure out from your role model, how do I respond? You know, you got a bunch of black and white photos in Time Magazine history books to look
right.
at of people hanging from telephone poles, and people think that's a bunch of crap.
Yeah.
It's happening again, and people don't get it. I get a bit upset talking about this, but...
I understand. I certainly can understand being upset.
What do you think, okay, out of that mode? I'm a Vietnam baby, Mike.
Yeah.
And my daddy used me as a pod to escape.
Well, good for him.
He did.
Well, good for him.
Well, he told me when I was a kid. I thought it was the coolest thing. I'm like, well, right on, man. I got you out of that crap. I got to be able to do something more. And what do you think about doing a serious show on your own? I mean... Separated from terrestrial, an uncensored Mike Malloy.
Well, I'm uncensored as it is.
Well, not really.
Oh, I don't say bad words other than the few that I say, but I'm certainly I've got all the freedom I could possibly want.
But we'd like to hear what you sound like in your living room.
Well, I have a 2-year-old.
I know.
You know what I mean.
I
use more profanity on this program than I ever use in my living room.
I know. Everyone likes to imagine that you're a young 25-year-old that's going to save us from this nightmare.
Would that I were.
Yeah.
But I'm not. I mean, I haven't seen 25 in 40 years.
I know. I hate to ruin your show, but can I just read one segment from The Art of Peace?
How long is it?
It took me 2 seconds.
All right, 2 seconds, go.
Yeah. There are no contests in the art of peace. A true warrior is invincible because he or she contests with nothing. Defeat means to defeat the mind of contention that we harbor within. And if people could absorb that a little bit.
Well, it's going to keep me up all night.
I apologize.
No, that's all right.
That's my job.
That's true. All right, SK, thanks. I got to move. Thanks,
bye-bye.
Steve. I appreciate it. Good to hear from you. Take care. Take care. No, we were in serious negotiations with Sirius. I love everybody at Sirius. They're a great group. It just, as it turned out, the folks at what is now Nova M are kind of, I don't know how to explain it really. Mike Newcomb is the CEO, but Shelley and Anita Drobny, who have put this network together, they're the ones that, remember that, Kathy, about 4 years ago, they came down here to Atlanta and said they had this idea about putting together a radio network of all liberals. And we sat around in that Thai restaurant and talked about it. And that seems like 1,000 years ago. And so, you know, to the extent that this business generates loyalty in anybody, which very seldom it does, I feel an awful lot of loyalty towards the Drobnys, because they really made the effort to get a network going. And... and succeeded, and then just got pushed out the door like it wasn't their baby. It's terrible. So whatever befalls Air America, the corporation, I hope it befalls them in spades. I hope they burn in hell. As far as the people who work there, I'd love them all too. You know, Randy and Rachel and Sam and so many of the people who work at Air America who have just taken it in the chops because of the frauds and thugs that work there now in upper management. Real bad, bad, bad people. I can't emphasize that enough. But as far as working for, this is just, nobody cares about this except me and apparently Steve, but as far as freedom, oh my God, you know, I have, the only freedom I don't have on this network is the freedom that is, you know, to say really nasty bad words. Which I have to admit sometimes, I think cursing a good blue streak is pretty expressive. But I can, no, we can't do that, and we don't do that at home even, because Molly is that age now where, you know, she'll say something about the effing traffic.
I was about to say, I have to tell a story. It's so funny because Mike and I are very, very good with Molly in the car, except in the car. We're great around the house, except in the car. And that's the only place she ever hears bad language because we just slip up in the car. So we'll catch ourselves. Molly will be strapped in all safe in her little car seat in the back seat. La, 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 la. We're listening to her little music class CD about Sam the dinosaur. And someone will cut us off in Atlanta traffic. And we'll go, and we know she's listening. So the last time this happened, I was with her alone in the car, taking her to gymboree class. La, 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 la. Someone cuts me off in traffic. And I start to say something. And I realize, nope. And I thought, I'm so proud of myself. I stopped myself before I said anything. And from the back seat comes this little voice, effing cars. I thought, damn it, my best laid plans.
Yeah,
the
well,
kid picked up where I left off.
Yeah, and we immediately tried to convince her that we were saying, you know, flubbing or
fudgy
cars.
Fudgy cars.
The fudgy cars. So anyway, how we got to that story from working at...
She's so cute.
Working at Nova M or Sirius, I don't know. I'm sorry. This is a very boring interlude. I'm sorry. We don't normally do this. Please forgive us. Let's move on. Oh, it's time for a break. Oh, geez. When we come back, we'll talk with Eileen in Glendale, Arizona. Stay with us. I'm Mike Molloy. About 10 before the hour. Thanks to Ian Huff in Phoenix, who engineered the program and answered your calls. Thanks, Ian. Got my teeth in front, or tongue in front of my eye teeth and can't see what I'm saying. Chris in Minnesota is our senior correspondent. Mark Marshall is our webmaster. Militantmods at MikeBloyd.com. Message board, thanks a lot. Ben Birch, White Rose Society, archives the program. And thanks to KPHX's Jeff Farias for sitting in for me last Friday. You can hear Jeff on the Truth to Power Hour, 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. Phoenix time. What is that? Is that Mountain time? Western time? Anyway, Phoenix time, 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. on 1480 KPHX. Thanks, Jeff. I appreciate you filling in last Friday. Eileen is calling from Glendale, Arizona. Hey, Eileen.
Yes, I want to make a brief statement, and you can comment on it. Goldman Sachs is making deals with foreign corporations to privatize infrastructure in this country, and they're making millions off of this. Indiana Governor Mitch Daniels, who's connected with Bush, he sold the Indiana Toll Road to MIG Centra from Spain for 75 years. And Australian Transurban paid $500 million for Virginia's Pocahontas Parkway for 99 years. And a conference opened on September 19th at Waldorf Astoria. It was dedicated entirely to infrastructure privatization in the United States. Tom Nelthorpe of trade magazine Project Finance addressed the audience, drawing a laugh when he joked about pirates plundering resources in the New World. Bush was there the night before, and there were investment bankers, high-powered lawyers, and world's leading infrastructure companies. Now, this is an extensive article. It's in Mother Jones' January-February issue. I am so angry. How do you feel?
Well, exactly the same.
I am angry. I don't know what to do.
I subscribe to Mother Jones. I haven't gotten to that particular article yet. I've seen it. I need to read it, especially in light of what you've just said. The dismembering of the United States is in full sway, and I don't know what it's going to take to stop it. I really don't, Eileen. But
my husband said the country's gone, and we've lived here a lot of years. So I'm going to be 80 my next birthday, and I lived through terrible times, but this is the worst I have ever seen, and I'm so angry.
I hear you. I don't know what to say. You're absolutely right. And to watch this go on the way it's going on, I don't know what to do. Does your husband, does anybody have any ideas?
All I do is call the Congress people. I call everybody in Congress I can think of. The only place I don't call is the White House. I will not call the White House because it's worthless. You know, it's like throwing good money after bad.
Absolutely.
I don't bother with it. And if you think you are swearing at Bush on the radio, I've been doing it for 6 years in my own home. So I thank you for listening. I just hope somebody gets a hold of this and brings it out into the public. The regular media, you hear nothing about this at
not
all.
Not a thing. It's in the current issue, the January-February issue of Mother Jones.
Right.
All right. I'll be reading it over the next day or two.
Okay.
And thanks, Eileen. I hope
thank you for
again.
Listening.
Well, you're more than welcome. Take care. Call
mm-hmm.
in
bye.
Again. Bye. Oh, man. If you don't subscribe to Mother Jones, you should. That's all I can say. And the Nation. And there's a couple more. Bitch is a good magazine. Yeah, just like it sounds, Bitch, B-I-T-C-H. They've been around for, what, 3-4 years now, Kathy? It's a good magazine. Lee is calling from Oregon. Lee, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Lee.
I wanted to bring up about the prosecutors in the Saddam trial.
Yeah.
They brought up that Saddam had targeted civilians.
Mm-hmm.
And now, bringing it back to Bush, remember that official memo that was leaked out of Blair's office about 2 years ago,
right,
that Bush was planning to target and kill the civilians in Al Jazeera. Now, what's the difference of committing murder and planning to murder? Just because someone else stopped you doesn't mean that it's not a crime.
The Bush crime family, though, can do things that normal human beings are not allowed to do because it's the Bush crime family, because it is protected. It can violate any law it chooses to violate, and the lawmakers in this country and the American people are content with that. If we weren't content with it, we would remove him from office. But we don't remove him from office. We just sit back and allow him to continue to do it. So apparently, except for a few diehard radicals like you and me and a few million of the rest of us, it's okay. Bush can violate the law. It's because he's Bush. He's a Christian man God loves him, God talks to him, tells him what countries to invade, and he's allowed to do this, whereas other people would be put on trial and eventually sentenced to be hanged. That's
sure
the best answer I got for you.
Okay, all right. Have a nice day.
Okay, thanks a lot, Dee. I appreciate you checking in. Unless somebody's got a better idea. You know, I go to my friend Bart Kopp. Bart Kopp, if you haven't been to BartKopp.com, shame on you. But Bart Kopp has been saying for years, you know, Bush, the Bush family, he calls them the Bush Family Evil Empire. He calls them the BFEE. They live by a set of rules that are different from everything that you and I must live by, and therefore they can do this kind of stuff, whereas you and I would go to prison or be sentenced to be hanged or whatever. Thanks for hanging out with me tonight. I do appreciate it. We'll see you tomorrow night, okay? Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.